Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. And tonight, of course, this is usually our Bible study and prayer time. Our Bible study, we've been on the life of Elijah. And we got a few more messages on the life of Elijah coming to the end of that. And I'm pretty sure that we're going to be going into the life of Elisha right after that. And so we'll get that whole part of which God used Elijah and then transitioning into Elisha and all the blessings there. But tonight, with the being Faith Promise Missions Budget Night, and the month of June is our Faith Promise Missions Awareness Month, and so we emphasize missions all month long. We have missionaries coming in, especially missionaries we're looking to take on for support, and so we're going to be presenting that to you. But before we do, just an understanding of why we have Faith Promise and why we do this as a church. And so I want to take you to the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to read a few verses here in the book of Proverbs because I love the book of Proverbs, book of wisdom. Most of the verses are antithetical statements. They stand alone, and a message on helping us to see a theme, a central theme in each verse from two different directions. And I'm going to be reading here three verses, all three found in Proverbs chapter 14. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read those together. And it's something that, boy, people need to hear today, even in America, especially when it comes to all the politics that we're hearing about and all the things that are going around and who's right and who's wrong and what kind of laws we need to pass and what kind of laws do we need to support, all the different things and who will do what when they get elected into office. And, well, we just, I could go in a lot of different directions with that. But as we look to the Word of God, the Bible says here, Proverbs chapter 14, and let's look here at verse 26, 27, then verse 34. Verse 26 says this, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord," verse 27, "is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." And then the main verse I want you to look at tonight is found in verse 34. It says this, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people," worldwide, all nationalities. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Father, we bow before you. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. I thank you for that we have opportunity to the freedom to assemble ourselves together on this Wednesday night and have a Bible study. And Lord, I know tonight we're looking at something a little bit different with the Faith Promise Missions and our awareness of the reason why we're doing it as a church. I just pray that you'd meet with us and give us all that insight that we have need of through the teaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, God has always had a plan for righteousness. Understand that. God created humanity, and his righteous plan for Adam and Eve was to fellowship with God. He created humanity in his own image, after his own likeness, for fellowship, for his own pleasure, the Bible says. And so if we were created in his image and after his likeness, and we understand that God is a holy, righteous God, then we just take for granted that God would want us to live a righteous life and a plan for righteousness. God has had a plan for righteousness since the very creation of humanity. And that idea of righteousness is doing that which is right in his eyes. And when they would fail to do what was right in God's eyes, especially after he would warn them of the consequences, when they would fail to do what he told them to do, as he would lead them and help them to do it, then there would be a consequence of that. There would be a testing, and then there would be a reward or a wage for that sin. They would be something that God would do and having to discipline humanity. And so we find here, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin, because of sin and the results of sin, is a reproach to any people. As we look back to the old world, and the Bible gives us a little bit of insight into that in the book of Genesis and how that eventually all of man's thoughts were evil continually because they wanted to force God out of their hearts and minds. And there was only one righteous man in his family left on this earth at that time, and that was Noah. And God destroyed the world, and he began a new world with a righteous man. He began the new world with Noah. In Noah's time, after Noah's descendants, we find as the population on earth grew, God called out Abraham. And because God would want to have a nation on this planet that would be able to represent God to the other nations of the world. God has always had a representation of himself on this planet Earth. And so if you look back to Genesis in chapter 12, and we know this quite well, but I think putting it together tonight, maybe just give the light might come on, and you will see exactly why we do what we do today with missions. Abraham chapter 12, we find here is the Abrahamic covenant. God would call Abraham out to serve him, to represent him, and out of Abraham's seed, okay, God would bring forth a Savior of the world. He would also, out of Abraham's seed, bring out the nation of the Old Testament, the people that God would work through to represent him to the world, which would be Israel. And so we find here the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God's mind was always on all humanity. God's desire has always been to reach out to all humanity. And through Abraham and Israel, because of they would represent the true God, if those would look to Abraham and they would accept the God of Abraham, then we find that they could have the blessings of Abraham's God. And so we find here that all families of the earth could be blessed through Abraham, which Old Testament, moving on down, we find would be Israel. Israel, all families. God is holy, and he judges the world according to righteousness. He made that perfectly clear. Old Testament, we find that is so true. Righteous exalteth the nation. When Israel was righteous, God would exalt them. When Israel would turn away from God, they suffered the consequences. When those that would follow in line and look to the God of Israel, no matter what nationality they were, what people they were, when they would adopt and they would come and they would accept the God of Israel, then God's blessings could be upon them. Fast forward a little while. After the Old Testament, we find that God sent forth his Son. And the Bible says, if you go to Galatians in chapter 4, another very familiar passage of Scripture, Galatians in chapter 4, but again, righteousness exalteth a nation. And that is doing what's right in God's eyes. We find that Old Testament, it was Israel, setting the example for what was right for the world to look to. Now we find in Galatians in chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Anyone that would look to the Son of God. In the fullness of time, when it was time, we find that the New Testament was ushered in. God sent forth his Son to usher in a New Testament era, to usher in and to reveal a full revelation of the will of God, that is what would be righteous in God's eyes. Did not do away with the law, did not erase the Old Testament, but gave us the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Amen. Gave us the purpose and the reasoning behind the laws of the Old Testament. Helped us to understand that it was never perfect, but in order to accept the new covenant, there had to be an old covenant. And we find that it was never perfect, but it prepared us for the new covenant. It prepared us for this New Testament church age. which was so important that God sent his only begotten son. And he sent his son not for it, just for Israel, which was representative of God in the Old Testament, and will have a part in the rest of the millennial reign of Christ. But in this New Testament church age, Jesus Christ came to establish that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And so here we find as he came, Jesus came as Israel's Messiah and the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets, and he would be the Savior of all mankind, Jews and Gentiles, all humanity. But all humanity, no matter where they lived, no matter what their past, would have to believe in Jesus Christ, which would understand, at that point, they would have to understand that there's only one God. And the people that represented this one God in the Old Testament was Israel. Jesus prepared his apostles and established his church for this New Testament church age. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus was asking them, "Who do men say that I am?" They gave him an answer there. But then he says, whom say ye that I am? I'm preparing you. If you don't know who I am, then how can you tell other people who I am? And so he was preparing them. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So in his coming, his disciples would acknowledge him to be the Messiah, the Christ child, the one that was prophesied in Old Testament. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So God has a plan for humanity, always has had and always will have. God has a plan, and so he's preparing them. Said the Father, he has revealed to you his plan. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And so what he is revealing is Jesus came to, yes, be the sacrificial lamb, but while he was here, he would establish his church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And throughout this New Testament church age, he would work through his church when he says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." He's telling them that the church is what he came to establish. Then he would leave the church as representation of who God is. And the church that would represent who God was would have to be righteous. They would have to understand what would be right in God's eyes and then make sure that they were doing what was right in God's eyes, not in man's eyes. He had a plan for righteousness. He's always had a plan for righteousness. When he created humanity, it was a plan for righteousness. When he saved Noah, there was a plan for righteousness. When he called Abraham, there was a plan for righteousness. When he sent his son, there was a plan for righteousness, for humanity. Acts chapter 1, he prepared his apostles once that he would be resurrected from the grave, as he would ascend on into glory. Before he would ascend, he would give final instructions. Acts in chapter 1, verse 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Before he was taken up, he established it. Before he was taken up, he gave commandments. "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, the purpose in which they were there, the plan of righteousness. The plan of righteousness. Before he would ascend, he would have established his church, put it in the hands of the apostles, who would put it in the hands of other disciples, who in every generation would continue to put it in the hands of other disciples, so that the plan of righteousness through the church would remain. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. The Bible was completed. The apostolic age had done its part. The transitioning between the Old Testament and the New Testament is the apostolic age. The Holy Spirit now will dwell within the hearts of each and every one when and at the exact moment they call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. They receive the Holy Spirit of God to seal them to the day of redemption. There's no new revelation because we have the completion of the Bible, the completion of that which God has written down for humanity to understand what? What is righteous? What is right in God's eyes? It's never going to change. There's no new revelation. There will not be any new revelation. We have all there is in this Bible. We have all we need. We have the written down understanding of what God reveals as righteousness. And righteousness exalteth a nation. And sin is a reproach to any people. God's blessing, any nation on this earth could have God's blessings if the nation would turn to God and turn away from sin. The Bible was completed. The commission has been given. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, all families of the earth. God wants every family of this earth to have his blessings. The key to God's blessings is righteousness. Not what man deems what is righteous, but what God has already revealed and written down concerning what is righteous in his eyes, what is right in God's eyes. Teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, revealing to us who God is, the Trinity of God. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Jesus Christ, have commanded whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Even unto the end. So he is here with us during this time. He is here with us during this church age. The Bible is completed. The commission had been given. Now shall be passed on to every generation. The very same truths. Not a watered down, deleted, but the full revelation, the exact revelation that Jesus Christ gave to us. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, thou therefore, my son, Paul passing this down to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's been the plan for some 2,000 years. years, we have the very same plan being passed down. We have the very same Bible that is the authority that God has left for us. We find ourselves in the year 2016. This could be the last. I look around. I don't think there's any question whatsoever that we see prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. And if you didn't know the Lord, it could be scary. When you know the Lord, then you have just greater confidence that God is still in control. Amen. And you couldn't be in any better place than in His church. Because Jesus Christ has promised His presence with His church. Amen. So no matter what's taking place, if we are, just days before the rapture, no matter what, the tribulation, of course, the church is going to be taken out before the tribulation period begins. But how far will He allow us to go in the tribulations of this earth before the seven-year tribulation begins? Who knows? I do believe this next election will have an impact on that, because I believe that we're still here because God wants the world to be evangelized. And as long as we have the opportunity to evangelize the world, and it's been the United States of America that has given the world the freedom of religion, that's given the world the freedom to believe whatever everybody wants to believe. But it's because of the establishment of this great nation that we've allowed other denominations and other faiths to have a freedom to believe what they wanted to believe and not have a world dictatorship. Amen. That's America, and that's the Christian foundation of America. The Christian foundation is that all men are created equal. God is no respecter of persons. And you have a free will. And if you're going to choose God, you have to, of your own free will, choose God. If you desire not to choose God, you can do that. And you can live however you want to live. But you cannot live with the blessings of God, because God blesses righteousness. We've lost sight of that today. We've lost sight of that in the political realm, definitely. But the church needs to realize reality. The church needs to understand the truth. Don't get so caught up in the politics, either side, that you lose sight of what the Bible says. Don't look at what the Republicans say is right, nor the Democrats that say that's right. Look to the Bible to understand what is right. And then whoever's the closest to it, vote for them. I don't think there's much of a decision there, but anyway, vote for them. The church needs to know what's right. And what's right is what's right in God's eyes. It's always been that way. God established righteousness for Adam and Eve, for Noah, for Abraham, for the apostles, for the disciples of Christ. This could be the last. But if not, and we should not just focus on this being the last. We should focus on doing our part and making sure that we're passing on that which we have been taught, just as Timothy would. Every child needs to be taught, first of all, there is a God. There's only one Creator God. And it does matter what you believe. There is a God. The church is important. The church. Jesus laid His life down for the church, which is made up of individual born-again believers, but it's the church. We have to pass on the importance of there is one God. We have to pass on the importance that there is, the church is important. It ought to be a part of every person's lives. And not just religion and not just any church, but the true church of Jesus Christ. That which is revealing the righteousness as per the very words of God. And every child needs to learn it's right to tithe and to give to missions so that we might continue to do and accomplish what we're here to accomplish. Given to missions is what's right. It's not what's right in my eyes. It's not based on what's right in the Baptist life. It's not based on what's right life. It's based on what is right in God's eyes. That's what true righteousness is. It has to be passed on. And we have to do the best job we can do to make sure that my testimony and that our testimony as the Lighthouse Baptist Church does everything in our power to help the world know there's one God. There's one Savior. There's one indwelling Holy Spirit. The church is important. And the true church has the doctrine of Christ. That's the church that is important. Because righteousness exalteth the nation. And anything but that, sin, is reproach.